Have you ever thought about that while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb? I did. I actually bought two homes in Albuquerque that I Airbnb'd, and it was just an amazing investment, honestly, because, you know, as you are accruing value in your property, you are also making money on the Airbnbs. It's amazing. So your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have. It's an award-winning tequila. It's infused with real juice, with real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. It's real. So you need like two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail. Hey, you know how I'm always trying to keep my house parties exciting? New cocktails? Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's something that's going to flip the script.
Okay.
All right, 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Yeah. Tell me more about this, right? Oliver Hudson.
Yeah, 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila that's infused with juice from real fruits. You only need two to three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
Wait a minute. I think I know what brand you're talking about. You know why?
Yeah.
Because 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend. It's female founded.
That's right.
See?
Sounds
See
like
how I know? Something I can get behind.
I know. Well, there's a good story behind that for sure. Listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila. Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling revelry.
No, no.
Sibling revelry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling revelry.
That's good. Ollie, I'm excited about this. We're going to do our email.
Emails. Always love the emails. Always crying.
I know. I know.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, we'll see what happens.
There's one on here that says sad. Okay. So I'm assuming
that it's sad.
That this could be. But when I was reading these before, I was in a very emotional state.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I'm feeling better about myself and my life a little bit. So
yeah. Well, let's.
You know, maybe I've cut off.
Do you want to do the first one or should I do the first one? I want to say this before we get into this, that I'm always so grateful that people share these stories.
Yes, me too.
Because I think it makes a lot of people feel good. Even when it's a sad story, it makes them feel like they're not alone, because I think a lot of people share. We talked about this on one of our other episodes, just that people share tragedy and then people share the joyous moments of siblings and all of these things.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Where are we going to start? Should I go first?
Why don't you go first?
I'm scared.
I would be too.
I always get emotional. Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Hello. First.
Oh my God, already?
First, of course, I have to say I really adore your podcast. It is so comforting. Ollie, your endearing way of being honest about your flaws and struggles really helps me work through my self-hate and doubt that I really struggle with, so thank you. Kate, the way you laugh and love with your entire being is something I aspire to. My name is Lizzie, and I come from a large family. I've always described it as the Brady Bunch, each parent having three and getting married, but then having three more together. I am part of the last trio, the second to last child of nine.
Wow.
That's almost like Danny and the Fujikawas and the Fosters, and they called themselves the Brady Bunch because they were three boys, and then Ron, my partner, met my best friend's mom, and they had They had the three girls. Okay. My little brother, being the baby, got lots of attention while I was like a quiet chameleon trying to blend in, which landed me in circumstances like being the child left behind at Blockbuster. Aw. But I wouldn't have changed it for anything. I loved watching my siblings and being surrounded by chaos. And chaos was plenty. Friday night pizza with almost every kid, also having a friend over. Large Sunday breakfasts and lots of ER trips. But the chaos was not just from the children, but from our parents as well. Handling a large split family, their own childhood trauma and addictions, we had to witness and sometimes be the brunt of their growing pains.
Really? Wow, that's connected to something deeper within.
Well, at least they had growing pains.
Oh my God. That's funny.
Oh, I'm on my period. This is going to be tough.
Okay.
I'm in like, I should be in a cave right now. Like,
that was surprising to me, you know.
Well, I know where this is going.
I know.
Kind of like, right. I immediately projected into where this is going,
yes.
And it got me.
Mm.
Okay. Recalibrate here. We had a lot of tremulous times among the good ones, and I watched all my older siblings leave as soon as they were able to, each year getting increasingly more quiet. I remember missing them greatly, and to this day, I have trouble with silence. Oh, so she was the second to last. Oh, could you imagine?
Everyone's gone. Yeah.
It's just her and her younger brother.
Right.
Oh, okay. I don't know where this is going. I think aiming to get out of the chaos path and venture into our own might have made it difficult to stay close. When a crisis arises, we are all really good at jumping quickly and being there for each other. People are usually pretty good at this when you've had some volatile trauma in life. However, when it comes to daily communication in life and being involved, that is much more difficult. With so many kids and different dynamics, some siblings are closer than others, and some don't see each other unless it is a holiday or special event, and even those are decreasing. We lost our mom to her pain pill addiction 7 years ago. Since then, the separation has increased. Our dad is very loving and supportive, but also very reserved. It is hard to stay close. Mom had her issues, but she was our glue. I want that to change. And I have to say, from listening to your podcast, I am inspired to dig deeper.
I'm glad I didn't go first.
Oh, this is like, just like delve right in.
Yeah.
I'm inspired to dig deeper with all of them. My sister and I have already started a lot of communication. We are learning a lot about ourselves, our past, and becoming closer than ever. But I want to be able to text all my siblings asking, how are you, without it feeling weird, as sad as that sounds. I appreciate the help from your podcast to put in the work, and I have no expectations from it, but I know I have to try. Thank you again, and all the best to you and yours, Lizzie.
Good letter.
Oh, that was so good.
Yeah. It was.
You know, so, I mean, that's hard because when you've got 9 siblings, the age difference must be really extreme. You know what I mean? And then to be the youngest.
And then it just goes from a full house to completely empty.
I know. Like a really chaotic house.
It's funny, but being siblings doesn't mean that you are just automatically connected and happy and have a relationship and communicate. It's like any other relationship in your life.
Yeah.
You have to work at it. You know what I mean? With everyone, with your wife, with your parents, with your husband, with your whoever, and then your siblings, you have to work at the relationship.
Yeah.
You have to put the call in. It's so easy for life to sort of get in the way of those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I can't stop thinking about Succession, and I wish I could say certain things. No, there's nothing to give away. But that's what's so interesting about that sibling dynamic in there is that they all kind of love and hate each other all at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's like, and then the shared experience of their own traumas is always what brings them together because nobody understands them, their trauma, like the sibling.
Right.
You know, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
again, when you've six step brothers and sisters, and then three full, mm-hmm. right? That's also complicated because mm-hmm. they all grew up together or at some point, but they're also have different mothers.
Yeah.
You know, or dads or
oh, it's so really. Blended. I mean, it's yeah. so, you know.
Aww.
But the thing is, what Lizzie is doing in reaching out is probably the best thing because, you know, some of these siblings might be feeling the same way and yeah. they're just not doing it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard.
It's also really hard to lose your mom to addiction because people who have suffered loss through addiction,
mm-hmm.
you can't help but at times, even though intellectually you're like, I know it's not about me, but you can't help but go to that place of like, you chose that over me,
not only
over us.
Not only that, but
it's a really hard thing to
sometimes separating
reconcile.
As a sibling, separating from that life, from that trauma, from that pain, when you're hearing from another sibling, maybe it brings it back in a sense. You know what I mean? Like they want to get away from that part of their life. So, yeah. you know, there's probably a billion. With nine of them, there's probably every reason in the book. But I'm glad that she's reaching out.
Also, the pain pill addiction thing.
Oh, my God.
And our country is
it's crazy.
Too much.
Well, thank you.
Lizzie,
thank you for sharing. That was really beautiful.
I'm so happy, like Oliver said, that you're reaching out with no expectation. I think that's the most important thing because, like, if we put too much expectation on it, then we're bound to be let down. You know, it's like you can't go into anything with expectations.
I know.
Because it'll never end up the way you want it to.
Oh, God.
But putting in the effort and the time, yeah. that's just the best.
Well, you can only do so much. You know, you can only control you. And then everything else after that is, you know, out of your control and up to the gods. So I'll read this next one. But then if we switch off, you get the sad but wants advice.
Oh, okay. I'll take the sad one. I'll just keep crying.
Okay. Hi. My name is Jackie, and I thought about writing in my sister's sibling story. And then I decided not to. Then I decided, yeah, okay, I will. It can be a dark story, but the ending is a beautiful light. My sister Jamie and I are 11 years apart. Wow. I guess you could call Jamie a surprise. My mom's tubes were tied, and at 40 years old, found herself pregnant again.
Wow.
Wow. Aaron's tubes are tied, too.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. From the moment she was born, we were pitted against each other. I was 11 and I remember going to school and telling all of my friends that I was finally going to have a new baby that day. I was so excited. For some unknown reasons neither she nor I can understand, the story turned around to be that I never wanted her, that I said I wanted to give her back. I wasn't the youngest anymore and it made me pout. Truth be told, life was no picnic and gaining a little sister didn't take away anything from me. There was never really anything there to begin with, so the stories that were made up were ludicrous. So from the time she came into this world, it was a sealed deal. For as long as possible, the line would be drawn that she and I would be not enemies, but I'm not sure what to call it. We grew up believing we hated each other. That's basically what we were told. Truth be told, I adored her and always did. I took her to the playground, took her to the pool with my friends, fiercely protected her. She was my baby doll. When my parents argued, which was often, she and I would go to my room and listen to NSYNC or watch TV. I took the cushions from my old futon and made a little bed for her under my desk so she had her own little space. Without going into much detail, what I can say and what will say is the odds were against my sister in multiple ways. What didn't hurt her only led to slandering and a destruction of what little relationship we were able to salvage after all those years. I was fed lies. She was fed lies. Again, I don't know why. The beautiful part in all of this is those very lies that made us scratch our heads and come together, discuss what was said, and basically compare notes. What was sought out to destroy was entirely salvaged and more. Our mother passed away 3 years ago. In more ways than the obvious, it's been one of the toughest things to go through. We lost not only our mother, but other people. The kind who are still alive but no longer reside in your life. But through that, we gained a bond that was years in the making. While people tried to set it ablaze forever, somehow we figured out how to let it out. She's a 25-year-old mama and wife now. I'm a 36-year-old mama and wife. In a lot of ways, we are opposites, but in most ways, we are the same. It's been 2 years since we began the journey of getting back to siblings, and out of all the darkness, that's been the ray of light for me. She is everything that I am proud of and more. She had beaten every single odd with nothing but her heart, and it takes a warrior to win that. Our story is one that I wish I could write a few chapters on because there's so much pain, so much more to all of this than I can write in this email. Too much truth that deserves to be said, but instead, I just wanted to put this out there because I know, we know, there has to be people like us out there. We started out as a sisterhood that contained three of us, and today it only stands with the two of us. You lose some and you gain some. We aren't strangers to loss. But again, loss isn't always through a coffin. Life is a chaotic mess. Sometimes you aren't dealt the best hand, but what I've come to figure out is you turn that hand you were given and you make it work in every positive way that you can. Jamie is a part of my everyday. We live states apart, but we are at the point that if we go a day without speaking, something feels wrong. And I never imagined we could or would ever get to that place. As a young woman and child, I never believed that anything good came from suffering and struggle, obstacles and hardships. But if I've learned anything, is that something beautiful somehow comes through.
So this is interesting because I don't know what the conflict was.
Yeah.
But clearly there was serious trauma that happened. It sounds like the fact that the odds were against them.
Sounds like Jackie's like a mystery. Holding something back a little bit, not wanting to reveal too much.
Right.
This idea that they were pitted against each other from the get.
Yeah.
There has to be some sort of reasoning behind that.
Right. Or just abuse.
Or
just,
abuse,
just
I guess.
Real abuse. Yeah. It sounds like there was some very...
But I guess the question is why, you know what I mean? Why would you want to pit two sisters against each other? What is the
reasoning
when
you're in
that?
Any abusive kind of like, you know, web, mm-hmm. there is no rational here nor there, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I think that's what a lot of people who've been in abusive relationships or abusive sort of families try to understand it. That if you tried to understand it, it just doesn't make any sense, mm-hmm. you know, because...
Yeah, there's a lot of reading between the lines here.
More than trying to, like, figure out the ins and outs of what happened.
Right.
It sounds like she was in this really, really terrible situation where she wanted to have this sort of loving family, but there was a lot. I mean, to me, it just reeks of someone who.
I guess
was.
So. And we don't know, but it's only, yeah. can only guess. I mean, if you're saying your sister hates you and she doesn't want you and this and that, and you know, I guess the positive all of it is they've come together and now they're best friends.
Well, and they can't go a day without talking to each other.
Right. So whatever
it
is,
whatever
that
it
happened,
is, the truth always does reveal itself, doesn't it? That's like, that's what, you know, and then people say like lies have legs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you tell a lie or you know, it's going to find its way to you at some point.
Yeah.
Someone's going to find out.
Right.
And you're going to, it's going to, everything becomes revealed.
Yeah.
At some point. And so.
And that age gap is interesting too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know. That, 11
that,
years.
That 11 right? years. Yeah. You know, she's 25 and she's 36 and her sister is 25.
Yeah.
I mean, that's worlds apart when you're that age. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And also like what, you know, Allison just texted me. She's right. Like any kind of abuse. So that's why I think this is sort of the core of this might be something that has to do with abuse. Because mm-hmm. at the core of abuse is power.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when it's like, you know, it's like when... People who are abusive like to commiserate with other people about how much they hate someone because it gives them more power mm-hmm. or wanting to put someone down or if they're jealous of someone, they want
right.
to create a kind of pack.
Of course. Yeah.
Because it makes them feel more powerful.
Exactly. That's good. That's a good analysis.
I'm just happy that they're able to like find each other
yeah.
and have each other.
Yeah, they're sisters again. You know what I mean? Well,
she
Jackie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie, for writing in. And hopefully there's even more healing to be done. It feels like, you know, you feel hold things very closely, close in, and hope. Sounds like, you know, there's still a lot of unpacking and healing to do.
And she spells her name J A K K I. Interesting.
What? No, that's a very typical Jackie.
No, it's not. J A C K I E.
Well, there are also a lot of G A K K I. I have a friend. I have a couple of Jackies.
J A K K I. Really?
Yeah.
Never seen it.
It might be English.
Maybe.
It's an Irish way of spelling Jackie.
Jackie.
Sakara. Labbity babbity Sakara.
Ooh, I like your labbity babbity bab.
Labbity babbity babbity pay.
Ali, we have both used the sponsor and continue to use the sponsor, Sakara. What is Sakara? It's a flexible signature nutrition program. It makes it easy to plan nourishing, feel-good meals around your busy spring schedule. Mm-hmm. You can sign up for breakfast, lunch, dinner. You choose your dinners, customize even more when you subscribe. So like when you subscribe, options are endless.
And they are extremely healthy. They make you look good. They make you feel good. It's a nutrition program as well. So it's more than just sort of a meal delivery program. It's like having a nutritionist and a chef all in one.
So Sakara brings expertly designed organic nutrition programs and wellness essentials right to your door. They're science-backed, ready-to-eat meals, deliver results you can see and feel, from weight management and eased bloat to boosted energy and clearer skin.
And they're yummy. They're really, really good. They're plant-rich meals. And I eat them to try to reduce my bloating because I'm basically floating away. So right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order, 20% off when they go to sakara.com/sibling or enter code sibling at checkout. That's Sakara, sakara.com/sibling to get 20% off your first order, sakara.com/sibling.
Oh, I was just having this moment, Oliver, today.
Yeah.
About when we're going to tap the Rockies. Because I have to figure out when to get to Colorado, the home.
Of Coors Light.
Coors Light.
That's right. This is, it's funny because they are synonymous, obviously. You know, when you think of Colorado, you think of Coors Light, or at least we do. I've been drinking Coors Light for a long, long time, and it's a beer that is literally made to chill. Let's not forget that. There's actually mountains that turn blue when it is ice cold and crisp.
It does really embody that Colorado spirit of like, there is time to just chill and like have fun, mm-hmm. chill out.
Yeah, it's cold lager. It's cold filter. It's cold packaged. It's cold everything. It's actually literally is freezing. It's cold, literally made to chill. So for me, when I think of a six-pack of silver bullets of Coors Light, I think of fly fishing. I think of going on a float trip. And what we do is you drag the Coors Light behind the boat, and that water brings those mountains to a blue, beautiful blue hue. Pull over to the side of the bank, crack it open on a 90-degree day, catch some trout, drink some Coors Light.
Okay, well, then we're going to manifest that.
Doesn't get much better than that. Does not get much better than that. So
no, it doesn't.
When you choose to chill, pair your plans with a nice cold Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart, or by going to CoorsLight.com/Hudson. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right. Hi, Kate and Oliver. My name is Alyssa. I'm 22 years old and a dedicated listener. I love hearing all of the different sibling dynamics of your guests and, of course, you guys. I'm the youngest of three girls, one being 15 years older and the other 2.5. My oldest sister moved away when I was 3. Despite the age gap, we have a deep, soulful connection. We hardly see each other because of the 500 miles of distance between us, which has become increasingly harder as I've aged. My other sister has always been my best friend, regardless of what we would have said if you asked 10 years ago. I love them with my entire being, and I'm so lucky to walk through life with them holding my hand. I have a huge extended family, totaling in 60-something second cousins alone. My mother's family has always been very close, often called the country Kardashians, much to their disdain. These last few years have been quite a different story. In February 2020, we lost my grandpa to cancer, a few weeks shy of the COVID shutdown. My grandpa's death, COVID, quarantine, the 2020 election, and now my grandmother's declining health has put an enormous strain on our family. It brought the phrase walking on eggshells to a whole new level. We were and still are in pretty constant turmoil. We used to get together for every holiday, dinner party, birthday, you name it. 3 years ago, we could talk on the phone for hours daily. Now I'm lucky if I get a birthday text. I'm losing my family, and there's nothing I can do about it. My mom is one of five. She is the second oldest of three girls and twin boys. The three girls being close in age while having a 10-year age gap from the youngest girl to the twins. Her and her older sister have always had a turbulent relationship, resulting in my aunt having a very surface-level relationship with my sisters and me. Or is it my sisters and I? Nonetheless, the statement reigns true. I believe my mom and her younger sister had a pretty normal relationship, who was once upon a time my favorite aunt. The twin boys she just adores, as do I. Our mother is a true saint who goes above and beyond to try to bridge the gaps. She's the peacemaker, oftentimes to her own detriment. She tried her damnedest to love her own siblings while also upholding her children's beliefs. She is my North Star. I miss my family more than they will ever know. Thank you for reading. Any advice you may have is welcome. With warmth, gratitude, and best wishes, Alyssa.
Weird.
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know.
Is it because grandma passed, and grandpa died?
Maybe it's like the matriarch and then you've got, you know, COVID, the shutdown, not being able to sort of see each other.
And that's right.
Grandpa's death, COVID, quarantine, the election, her grandma's declining health, it was a strain on the family. And then it sort of split everyone apart.
Well, I hate to say this, Alyssa, but I feel like you're not alone. I feel like there was a lot of families, especially in quarantine, especially the distance, especially the election, you know, and politics.
Yeah, you know, no, it's
that
true.
That can all...
It was a perfect storm of sorts.
Yeah, and Ollie and I talk about this a lot, like losing, you know, when you have a family and you're in this great little pocket and grandma and grandpa are still alive and it's sort of this great moment, and then you kind of think, like, what happens when that shifts? You know, when grandma or grandpa pass away, it does shift the family dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you're bottled up, you know, you've nowhere to go. You can lose your mind. I mean, as far as advice goes, sometimes it takes the one person, the champion, to say, hey, you know what? All on a group text, put everyone on there and say, this is ridiculous. We need to get together. Here's who we were 3 years ago, and here's who we are now. How did this happen? You know, unless there was one inciting incident that needs to be talked about, okay. Or if it was just a collection of grandpa dying, declining health of grandma, COVID, quarantine, the election, all that, then it's like, all right, well, someone needs to champion the cause of getting back together.
Well, this is a good, actually, like, let's put ourselves in her shoes.
Yeah.
What would you do? I'm going to try to think of what I would do, but was that what you would do? You'd put everybody on a text? If this was us.
Yes. That's what I would do, because it's easier to start that way. Obviously pare down what you've written here, but similar, saying this is who we used to be. And now we're this. How did we get here? Why did we let this happen? And now it's time to change it. COVID's over, quarantine's over. You know, we need to figure this shit out.
Yeah, or maybe just even a simple thing that instead of trying to fix it for everybody else, maybe what I would do is say, I miss our family and I miss... And I would tell, like, stories, and I miss, the times we would all get together and laugh. And it's so important for all of us to have that and for me to have that. And I just want you guys all to know that I love everyone in our family and that I wish we were all still close.
Yeah. And by the way,
instead of being like, we need to fix this, you know?
No, no, yeah.
Because like that maybe would make them see like, wow, this is affecting Alyssa or
Yes. I mean, I was being a little bit more stern because that was a sentiment behind it, but I agree. I mean, I wouldn't come in hot like, we need to fucking fix this shit, you assholes. I mean, but we're not dissimilar. Our families, we're all connected, but we're off doing things and we're not in each other's spaces a lot because of the nature of what we do. But that family affair text chain can bring everyone together within minutes where there's a joke is told, something's laughing, and then it sort of goes, vroom, and just rolls.
Oh my God, Ryder's text the other day, it still cracks me up.
Which one?
When he FaceTimed me and his dad.
Oh my God.
When he took the picture.
That was so funny.
Ryder did this thing where I was FaceTiming him. He called me at night and I was looking for something on my phone and he took a picture of me, like a screenshot of me looking insane.
Right. Like mid blink.
Yeah, it was like mid blink. I had like five chins. Yeah. I was like looking for something on my thing. It was too late for him to even be calling me. And then he sent this picture, side by side picture. He had done the same thing to his dad. And he sent it, he put it together side by side and he sent it to our family affair group chat and said, ladies and gentlemen, my parents.
Right.
And we looked exactly the same.
Yeah, it was funny.
Oh, it was so funny.
But I'm saying that group chat is a good thing. The advice I would give Alyssa is that. Yeah. Because that can begin the bringing back together. Just even laughing and joking over text and sending pictures. And
I also think Alyssa's you're the baby. You know, you're the youngest, and sometimes it takes that like youthful vulnerability to get all of the older generation looking at themselves and saying, you know, the younger generation in our family needs us and needs us to be good because that's what they need to model for the family.
Mm-hmm.
Not like literally model, but like.
I mean, like on a runway? Yeah. That's great advice. Set up a photo shoot.
They need to model. They need to
Set
do
up
a catwalk.
A photo shoot with the family.
And even if there is conflict, like how to resolve that conflict and come together and be together. It's all we have. You know, I always say like we need to, the world is so unpredictable right now. It all starts at home. We need to be able to know how to resolve conflict in our own families before anyone can truly understand how to resolve conflict on a global scale.
Right.
If we're not doing that, if we're not making that a priority to show our children and our families, we're not going to be raising the next generation to know how to do that.
That's a good idea, actually. You should get all of the leaders of all the countries on like just a group chat. They have their own threat.
It's like Putin.
Yeah, Putin like Biden, like Macron, like all everyone. All the presidents and prime ministers and leaders are just on a big group chat to sort of like talk and
they
laugh.
Like send gifts?
Yeah, like just gifts. That's a funny sketch,
so
by the way. Like in
funny.
SNL, they're all
that
like
is.
On a group chat.
Oh, God, like what kind of gifts would Putin send?
Oh, my God. It's funny. And you show them all in their respective places, texting.
God.
And
it's funny. It's like, you know, like really insane, you know. Like, I'm a little concerned about the nuclear thing and, like, Putin sends a gif of, like...
Right.
A girl going, like, oh, no.
Right, or it's like, Putin, it's like Putin, what are you doing? And it's that gif of Homer Simpson backing up into the hedge, like...
Oh my God.
Try the group chat thing. And then hit us back. I would love to see if this works.
Me too.
Okay,
your turn.
My turn. Hi, Kate and Oliver. I really appreciate your podcast. My siblings are my best friends and favorite drinking partners. Thank you for letting me share this story. My older brother and I are closest in age, 22 months apart. We grew up butting heads, as most siblings do, but as we got older, we became really close. Sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go out together in high school, and everyone always thought it was weird when we'd run into each other at the same parties because we were actually happy to see each other. Unlike most of the other siblings we were friends with, LOL. My brother played D1 football in college at UVA, and I went to Clemson, so we had a little family rivalry going in college, which was fun, both being in the ACC. The UVA, I know, the UVA Clemson games are some of my best family memories. Oh, that must have been amazing.
Amazing.
Through that experience, I came to the conclusion that I wanted to be a sports reporter. Fast forward a few years later, I get a job out of college as a sports reporter in Virginia, covering my brother's old team. He has since transferred to Southern California and is now in the process of trying to get drafted to the NFL.
Yeah, cool. Awesome.
His football career is a huge reason why I'm in sports reporting now. And I text him with sports questions 24/7, whether it be about schematic plays or good questions I should ask athletes in interviews. You guys rock. Best, Julia.
I love this one. Fun. How fun. I love a good sports family.
That's a fun rivalry, too, that UVA Clemson at home, you know.
It's also it's also another thing where, you know, you've got a sister and a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the sort of power of good sibling relationships and how it informs the things that you end up doing.
Mm-hmm. And inspires.
And, yeah. And here she is being a sports announcer.
It's pretty awesome.
That has to do with that connection with her brother and the love of sports
of
and wanting
course.
To be a part of it.
The best scenario of all of this would be he makes the NFL, and she gets on ESPN, and now is reporting on the game that her brother is playing. Like, that's the dream.
That would be unbelievable.
That is the dream. That should be the goal.
But, right.
Well, thanks, Julia. That's awesome. You know, sometimes we get the good ones. Usually
thanks,
it's like
Julia.
The sad ones. This was a very uplifting, exciting one.
Okay.
Okay, I'll read the shorty and Kate can read the last one.
Oh, geez. Okay.
When I would bring my friends home when I was a teenager, my brother would walk up to them and feel their pants and say, oh, cotton. Then their shirt sleeve and say, ooh, silk. These must be felt, as he grabbed their boobs. I can imagine you doing something similar to Kate's friends.
Oh, it's really funny and... totally of a certain generation.
Of
like,
course.
If that was happening in this generation right now,
oh my God.
You'd be canceled before you even got to college. You'd be canceled.
You couldn't even get to the punchline, which is these must be felt.
It's so funny. Oh, that's hilarious.
But to answer your question,
yes.
This is something I would have done. I mean,
not anymore.
No.
Well,
no. I was never like that, though. I was extremely scared of girls. I mean, all through high school, all through, still.
I don't know if I remember it that way.
This is true.
Maybe it was your own anxiety. You weren't showing it. But on the outside, you didn't seem like someone who was scared of girls.
I was afraid of rejection. So I had to make sure
that they loved you.
That they were like deeply in love with me or wanted to see me naked before I even made any conversation.
But you worked really hard at making sure that
you
weren't that scared.
I would position myself at the club or the bar to be seen and then make a little eye contact. And then make them come to me because I was way too scared to go up and say, like, hey, how are you? Like, I don't think I've ever done that in my entire life. Gone up to a girl and just been like, hey, how are you? I'm Oliver Hudson. Nice to meet you. I mean, I it's so scary to me and awkward and weird.
Yeah.
I've never done that. Yeah. Ever. And then even in high school, you know, I didn't kiss Becca for like a billion years. And she's sitting on a couch next to me, literally looking at me, saying,
her like lips are pursed.
With her eyes. She's just like, fucking do it. And I'm sitting there like, oh my God. And I remember my first kiss with her, I was watching the Billy Idol video, Rock the Cradle of Love, which was like the sexiest video at the time.
Yes.
We were sitting at her parents' couch and I'm like, just fucking do it. Just do it. And I was like looking and I just jam in there like so fast because I was trying to get it over with. And it was not good. But at least I broke the ice. But I was so scared.
Oh, she was probably so happy.
She was.
Was that at DeVita's house?
That was at Becca's house.
Oh, okay.
But my first kiss ever was with DeVita.
At DeVita's house.
At DeVita's house. And the same thing happened. We're all sitting down watching Halloween. Everyone leaves all at the same time. Everyone gets like hungry at the same time, purposely leaving DeVita and I there. I was like, oh no, here we go. And she's waiting, waiting, waiting. And I'm doing nothing, nothing. And then the friends come in and they're like, what happened? I said, nothing happened. I was so angry at myself. I went into her room and I was like pissed off. And Jesse comes in and he's like, what happened? I said, nothing. I hated myself. And then all of a sudden the girls open the door and it's DeVita and Becca and all the girls. And DeVita goes, Oliver, come here. She took full control, takes my arm, pulls me back into the room and just starts making out with me. And that was my first kiss. And that's indicative of how I've lived my life with females from that moment on. Even single in LA at clubs, I was always like too scared.
Well, now you don't have to worry about it because...
No, I don't.
But you still kind of get like that because you don't really... Well, I guess you're better now. You have to ask for affection.
No, I do, but I'm also still worried. I still don't like being rejected. Like, that's why Aaron has to sort of initiate sex all the time because I don't want to do it. I don't want to be like, come on, baby. Let's go.
Your fear of rejection is exhausting.
I have no moves.
I think it just, I know, but
my move with my wife is
now.
Just like pulling my wiener out. I'm just like, ew. Limp wiener, just being like, huh? What do you think? Am I going to get a thumbs up or
Oliver,
a thumbs down?
Terrible. A thumbs. I mean, honestly, only a thumbs up because she cares about you. But that move will always be a thumbs down for any woman. Yeah. like, just do us a favor and don't just pull the wiener out. Like, it's that's just
it is,
not.
It is. The men do that all the time. They just pull the wiener out.
I know. And it's
limp
just
and
weird.
Gross
it's
and
just
it's not
weird.
Pretty. A
yeah.
wiener's
and
not
it's
pretty.
Like, what do you want me to do with that?
Right.
Is this
and I'm like,
your
babe,
ass?
Like, does this turn you on? My wiener turn you on in any way? She's like, honestly, no. I mean,
really?
It's not really what gets me going. I'm like, God damn.
Okay.
All right, last one.
Maybe we should cut that one out.
No, keep my wiener in. That's what she said.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay.
Hi, Kate and Oliver. Oh, watch. This is
where are they?
Go from that. This is going to be like so sad.
Oh, good.
Oh, God. Jeez. Okay. Hi, guys. Let me start off by saying I love you both and purposely didn't address this to Kate and Oliver or Oliver and Kate. As not to boost or hurt Ollie's ego.
True fan.
Oh, that's so funny. I've been a fan of Goldie's since her laugh-in days and even loved watching the Silly Hudson Brothers show back in the day. Yes, I'm that old. Or that wise.
Mm-hmm.
I recently discovered your podcast and started with the older episodes. I absolutely love this podcast. It's evident that your parents did an amazing job raising you, whether it was Goldie, with Bill, Kurt, or both. It just doesn't matter. Someone certainly did something right. You're both such beautiful people, and it shines through in your words and love of one another. I cry at the drop of a hat like Kate and can also be as goofy as Oliver. I love when Goldie drops in. She's always a guaranteed laugh. And the love you three have for each other is extremely evident. Like I'm sure many others have said in their emails to you, you make us wish we could all be your best friends. For the past couple of years, my favorite podcast of the many I listen to has been Pete and Sebastian. Now, with you two, I'd have to say it's a tie for first place on my list. Keep up the good work, and I truly hope you continue this joint venture for many years to come. You have yet another loyal listener. Oh, thank you.
That's a good one to end on. Positive.
Oh, I love that. That makes me feel so good.
Funny. She obviously is a true listener because she understands my ego is fragile. You know, she's older, which means we're expanding our demographic.
Oh,
there's all kinds
so
of good
happy.
Things in this.
But that's the best thing. I mean, I was talking about this on an interview I was doing, and it was really just the one thing I love so much about doing this is that feeling that, yes, people, you know, have written in and said what it feels like for them, that it's comforting or that it makes them happy and that it makes them feel like they're not alone and all those things. And I think this dynamic... the sibling dynamic brings up all kinds of stuff for everybody. And really does kind of recenter you to think, well, you know what? We kind of need to work on our family relationships, make that more of a priority.
Yeah.
Or maybe inspired to do so. So
we always do speed rounds with the guests, but this is fun. Allison wrote us a bit of a speed round for us.
Oh, this is funny.
So let's do it. The last text you sent in general or to each other.
Yesterday we were doing a thing and you wrote that was fun.
Yeah, that's it. That was it. I wrote that was fun.
And I didn't respond.
You didn't respond. Until later. Until the next day.
I didn't mean to.
No.
But you wrote it late.
I did. But the thing is, when people don't respond to my texts, I take no offense to it
whatsoever.
Yeah,
I don't either.
Ever.
I don't either. Well, it depends on what it is.
Sometimes I don't respond. You're like, Oliver, with exclamation points. You're trying to call me or FaceTime. You're like, answer your fucking phone.
Yeah, but I'm usually joking. That's usually me just being silly.
Yes.
I don't really feel that way. I just, like when someone, my move is when someone hangs up on me, like, and I know they hung up on me, that's when I'm like, I write back.
Right.
Don't you ever hang up on me.
Now, let me ask you an honest question. Not with me, just in general. How often do you see someone calling and don't pick up? Meaning like, I don't want to talk. I can't talk to this person. I just don't feel like talking in general. Like,
honestly, not often.
Really?
Like if I have my phone and I'm not
doing
something,
yeah.
I'll answer
you
my
will.
Phone. Yeah. The problem is that I hate my phone, so yeah. I leave my phone places.
Yeah.
And then I can't find my phone. I'm like, oh, that's how much I hate my phone.
Yeah, I hate my phone too.
So everyone's like, where are you? And I'm like, I hate my, I need life without my phone.
My phone sometimes causes nausea.
Like, oh, I hate it.
Sometimes I pick it up and
I don't know how people
going
do it.
Through the motion of like Safari, mail, text. I feel like throwing up because it's just like, I'm almost programmed and
it's
horrible.
You're like, what am I doing?
What am I doing? Why am I? I already looked at my emails. Looked at them.
Well, and then you're like, why am I on offer up?
Yeah, exactly. I love offer up. I put a rug there. It's been 7 months. I've got no bites.
Why am I on it? But why am I, what am I looking at?
Totally.
I'm like looking at, you're like.
Right. I click like CNN, like for the 800th time, like, no, headlines haven't changed. Like, ugh.
I sometimes think about how my biggest issue with the phone is that now, because everyone's on their phone all the time, they think if they think of something, they're like, oh, I'm going to send you an email, you know, hey, Kate, like, please call back because I need you to do X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And because they sent that email, they think they've finished contacting me.
Right.
They didn't call me. They didn't text me.
Right. You need more
they
points
didn't call
of contact.
An assistant.
Right.
They didn't call. Right. They just are like, I did my job. Mm-hmm. I wrote the email. And you're like, that's not doing your job. That's not doing work.
Mm-hmm.
Work is actually connecting with someone and talking through something.
Yeah.
And I miss that. I don't like exchanging emails.
I know, everything's over email.
And then they're like, would you like to do this, you know, this like whatever for me, like an offer comes. Let me put it this way. An offer comes in. Would you like to do this? I'll write back. You know, oh, that sounds interesting. Like, what's this about? And then they write back. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's like this. And you're like, well, maybe. And next thing you know, you're going back and forth on an email.
I know. Like, get on the phone.
And you're like, just pick up the phone and call me and let's talk about it. Like, I don't want to stare into this device.
I know.
Talking to you.
I know.
Right?
I have different friends who do different things.
I'm going to like throw my phone.
Like,
I'm going to get a flip phone.
Tay Diggs only does videos. That's how he communicates. If I text him something, all of a sudden, whoop, like an 8-minute video of him in the car being like, what's up, man? Like, hey, fuck you. And then I'm like, he's like, no, I'm just doing this. So like, what's, and he'll ponder for like 30 seconds to say nothing. Like,
well, that's also just exhausting. Tay, if you're listening, that's exhausting.
He gives videos, all videos. Spade is all voice note. Like he doesn't text.
I like voice notes.
I like voice note too.
It's easy.
Yeah.
Especially when you're like driving or doing something and you can't type.
Yeah.
You know, the voice note is nice.
I like the voice note.
And then, you know, Catherine Hahn does Marco Polo.
Oh, yeah, I have that.
Which I tried.
Used
to
do it, and now I don't do it.
And she'll send me a Marco Polo, and then all of a sudden, like, a notification will come up and be like, you have a Marco Polo from Catherine Hahn from 5 years ago. And I'm like, oh, Jesus.
I know.
But I think, honestly, just call me. Like, get on the phone. Let's talk about it. I want to get rid of my email.
Oh, God. How? How's it
well,
possible?
This is interesting. I've been thinking about this.
No way.
I have a thing on my email right now, although it's off now, but I have like an out-of-town thing. I think I'm going to keep an out-of-town thing.
That's good.
All the time.
Because you can always see them.
That basically says, I don't answer email often.
Yeah.
If this is important, please contact this person or just call me.
Yeah.
Like, I hate sitting there. I have so many things I want to read in a day. The last thing I do is want to read. And then I feel bad because people take the time to write these really nice emails.
I know.
And then you're like, fuck, I have to sit here and read a really long email.
But there's also a benefit to the email, which is then you don't have to talk to that person that you don't want to talk to. And you'd rather communicate through text and email, which is great.
Them.
Or you just be like, I want to ask a favor, or I want to ask a question.
Sorry.
I'm like going to be like, click, 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 send. And then you're like, okay. Instead of getting on the phone, like, hey, man, like, how are you? How's life? That's crazy. Hey. And then finally, so the reason I called is.
No, I love that.
Oh, no.
That's so much better.
It's right to the
point. It's so much more personable.
I know.
It makes it harder for someone to say no.
I emailed my agent like 4 days ago and didn't get a response.
What?
And I'm like, what the hell?
Oh,
so I call
another. That's not good.
Well, no, I call one of my other agents because there's film and TV both. And I've emailed my film agent. I was just like, checking in, what's going on? You know, I need a job, being funny. And I said, I'm open to softcore. and I called Dar, my other agent. I'm like, fucking Chris hasn't emailed me back. It's been 4 days. Turns out, softcore was flagged and put into his spam.
Whoa.
Yeah. You guess you can't say softcore.
Why?
I don't know. I said it there. I said softcore is, I didn't say porn. I just literally said softcore.
Interesting.
So at CAA, it was flagged and then like thrown away.
I guess CAA is not in the softcore business, Ollie.
Not yet. Song you can't get out of your head.
Oh, well, right now it's
well,
one
yeah,
of mine.
I know. Mine's Wrecking Ball.
Well, that's because you sang it yesterday.
I know, I can't stop.
I know, that's a great song.
It is.
The woman who wrote that song, it's actually a great story. When she sings the song, because she wrote it about her relationship. It's literally like a relationship, like her engagement, like when it was a terrible story.
Mm-hmm.
But she put it into that song. So when she sings it, it's so powerful.
Yeah.
And so sad, so deeply sad.
Yeah. Well, I was with Sandler on vacation, and he likes all music, but you know he's got his girls, and they like certain music. So he's playing Miley Cyrus, which I don't really listen to.
Oh, her new album,
it's fucking good.
Yeah,
man.
She's a great album. Her album's great.
The production on it is awesome.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She sounds great.
Well, she's got one of the great instruments.
It's
she's got one of my favorite voices.
No, it's different.
Yeah,
it's really
I love her
different.
Voice.
You know,
it's also I think this is her best album. I love this album because it's like, I don't know, feels mature.
Last movie?
So what song is you can't get out of your head? Wrecking
the
Ball.
The Wrecking Ball, yeah.
I would say other than like the fact that I'm deep in it with my stuff, I would say the song I can't get out of my head would be.
Well, now you're putting one in your head.
That's right. That's right.
So this is not working.
No.
Just your whole album.
It really is.
That's it. You can't get your record
and
out
I
of your
can't
head.
Tell. Yeah. I know what song it is. I just can't tell you.
Last movie you watched. God.
Oh. Well, I just watched Succession, which is not a movie.
No, I know. Because the next question is last show. But
the last movie I watched was Murder Mystery 2.
Did you?
I did. I watched it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't even remember the last movie I watched. Honestly, maybe Knives Out 2.
Yeah, you did. That's right.
In Colorado.
That's right. Wow. Is that the last movie?
I don't watch movies because I watched TV shows.
Well, you have to watch movies.
I need to see Triangle of Sadness.
It's so
good. I know. I can't
and you know,
wait
and then
see.
I watch, but I've been watching so many movies lately.
Yeah.
I'm on a kick. I'm on a mission.
Well, it's also the old movies.
I'm
need
on
to
a
be
mission
watched.
Because I really want to see that event movie. I want to like bring back genres of films that I think have a real place in the movie theater. I think we need to focus on those things, even though there's also the other part of where the industry is going, mm-hmm. which is streaming and all that. But I still think there's mm-hmm. an audience for the yeah. theater. I mean, we had a great weekend the other weekend with Air and what was the other one? That Super Mario?
Super Mario completely destroyed.
Yeah, it's great. This is
it's
great.
Crazy. Did Air do good?
Air did great. It was I think 20 something million at the opening weekend.
Yeah, I got to see it. I think it's on a bit of a rebound.
I hope so because we love movie theaters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last show.
Last movie you watched in the theater.
Oh my gosh. I don't.
Knives Out.
Knives Out. I mean, it was kind of a theater.
Yeah, it was a theater.
The Wheeler Opera House.
Yeah.
I think.
Mine was.
Oh, I saw Smile. The horror.
Oh,
really
God.
Good.
Was it good?
Yeah. Scary. Good. Ethan Hawke's in it. It's good.
I don't Smile's like scary good. Movies. Okay, last show you watched, Succession.
Yeah, Beef.
Me, last night.
I'm watching Beef.
Beef. I want to see Beef.
Beef is cool. Beef is it's like this little show. It's actually getting great reviews. It's probably getting bigger now on Netflix. It's amazing. It's really great. Good, different, offbeat.
Ali Wong. Love her.
She's amazing. Everyone in it is amazing. It's the same people who did Everything Everywhere
give
All at Once.
Give me the elevator pitch. Give our audience the Beef elevator pitch.
Yeah, it opens with a like a 6-7 minute road rage incident.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see it's from the perspective of one character. And you follow him coming out of a sort of a Home Depot type of a store. And it's nothing bad. He backs up and there's a honk and that's that. She flips him off. And boom, this whole road rage incident starts.
Ooh.
And it's crazy. I mean, it's
ooh.
This and that and that and that. Big 6-minuter. And that then takes you into the different worlds of who were in the cars.
Okay.
And then how their lives sort of collide.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, that's sort of what it is. And there's all kinds of stuff in between.
Oh,
that.
I like that. I'm in.
It's good.
I'm in.
It's
okay,
good.
Book your reading right now.
The one you gave me.
Yes. What's the title?
Karu.
And you love it.
Love it. It's really, really great. It's just so up my alley. The character reminds me of me, strangely. And I'm not deep into it enough to give a pitch on what the book is. Because right now it's slice of lifey. But it's good. Really good.
Right. The book I'm actually reading right now isn't even out yet.
No.
It's called Matzah Ball. And it's very funny. I can't mm-hmm. tell anybody yeah. what it is, but I really like it. And it has a...
Is it Jewish?
No. But another book is I've been doing this thing where I read 20 minutes every morning something nourishing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wake up before the kids. I like put on weird like flute music and it's like...
Mm-hmm.
And like... I put on vibrations, like morning vibration,
mm-hmm.
you know, to elevate your mind.
Okay.
And then I get coffee and I come upstairs and I read 20 minutes. And the 20 minutes that I'm reading is The Book of Secrets, Deepak Chopra. And I love it. And so I find, too, that when I do that every morning for 20 minutes, I finish these books like this, so fast. If you tell yourself, I'm going to read 20 minutes every day of my book, you will finish that book.
This is what I need to do.
And so I do it now every day. I read for 20 minutes.
Because I get so locked into television that I forget yeah. to read.
And read in the morning because your brain is awake and it really does sort of like wake up your brain to, I mean, lately I've been reading more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I read for 20 minutes and then I've always got a book on audio and I'll do mm-hmm. like right now my matzo ball books on yeah. audio and yeah. I do my paint.
Oh, that's great.
So I paint by numbers.
That's right.
That's my new one, isn't
you
it cute?
You stand up?
Yeah. Oh. I stand up so that I don't.
Get blood clots?
Yeah. Or I just move around.
Right.
And do some. Okay.
I pulled this up, Clara and the Sun. It's an Ishiguro book, and it is fucking really good. I just finished that. Just the writing. He's such a good writer. It's crazy.
Now, when did that come out?
21.
2000. Okay, March. Mm-hmm.
But he won the Pulitzer.
Ooh, I want to read
that. A while back. Not with this book, but it's like, it's just such an interesting book about AI, but it's really good. I'm not going to get into the whole thing.
Okay. Well, it's good. Well, so as you know, we are Oliver and I do like to read. We actually said we should have a book club.
I know.
We keep saying that we should
just try it.
I'm happy to try it. I'll do it. I love to read.
You have to
meet, or at least like Zoom.
Yeah, but when?
Well, there's things we can
Everyone's
do.
Everyone's got to finish the book.
No,
right?
You do it in chapters.
Oh, so you read.
So we'll do like 1 to 5.
Okay.
So by the end of 2 weeks, we have to read from chapters 1 to 5. And
right.
Then we meet on Wednesday.
Oh my God. It'll never work with
but
our family.
But we should try it. We should try it.
I know. Mom's like, I will be in Tel Aviv. And then we'll get like, I didn't go to Tel Aviv. Wait, what? She goes, I'm going to be in Dubai for 6 months. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm not going to Dubai.
That's you just mom's, got insight. That's her new
that's
thing.
That's her thing. She's
mom's
always
new thing.
Traveling
She's always
the world
going,
and then not.
But doesn't go. It's the new phase for mom.
Oh, next place you're traveling to is Speed Round. I'm going to Cabo San Lucas on Wednesday.
I'm going to NYC to help Ryder get his first apartment.
Oh, good.
And so we're going to go do that. And based on what we've seen, looks like he's living in like, he's like, we got to go to New Jersey.
Amazing.
It's like, you know, he's got big hopes.
Yeah.
I'm like, honey, you got to lower
The last thing you bought.
The last thing I bought, was a, that's a good question. The last thing I bought were these Japanese prints that I'm putting in my office. And they're really cool. They're like Japanese posters that have like really great color, like pops of
cool.
primary color.
The last thing I put my credit card down for was yesterday, a golf fitting.
Oh, how was it?
It was good.
Are you excited?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so.
I also bought myself some Saint Laurent boots.
Oh, geez.
That was also, I did that. I'm not going to lie. I went there. They were just so great and they make me like 10 inches taller.
Right.
And I can walk in them.
Well, last thing I bought actually was probably Rio's Tudor from last night.
Yeah, right. My electric bill.
First thing you did when you got up this morning.
The first thing I did was Ronnie came running. Well, actually, the first thing that happened was I overslept, which I never do. And it was 8:10.
Whoa.
Yeah. Crazy. I'm usually up at like 6:30. Yeah. And Bing came in and was like, bye, mom. like, is everything okay?
Right.
Like, bye. And I'm like, oh, my God. And honey. But yeah, we both overslept. And then, the first thing I had to do was Ronnie. I woke up to Ronnie had face paint all over her face.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's drawing all these like very artsy face painting things. Mm. And so she came in and she's
getting
like,
ready for Coachella.
Yeah. She's like, what am I, mommy?
Right.
I'm like, a rainbow? She's like, no. A rainbow princess? No. Like, well, what? She's like, a rainbow fairy.
It's angry.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm sorry. You're a rainbow fairy. And then I had to wash it off because she didn't want it anymore.
I don't know.
She was
upset. The first thing I did is I wake up and I go wake up my kids. And I there's a pattern.
Coffee?
I wake up the kids. Aaron sleeps a little. Open up. Like, first wake up call.
Aaron's like, Danny, why are we the waker uppers?
I just get up early. And then Aaron gets up too and does all the stuff. But I usually get up, do the first wake-up call, and then get back into bed. Don't sleep. I'm just read the news a little
bit. Yeah, that's what I do.
And then I get up for a second wake-up call. And I'm like, guys, get up. And then I go downstairs and make my coffee.
That's like me. Oh, see, I wake up, I do all of that, and then I get coffee, and then I come back to bed.
You do?
Yes.
No, I do a once back in bed, second wake-up call, down for coffee.
I love these little weird patterns. They do change.
And
okay.
Then I make egg on bags. That's what the kids want.
Eggs on bags?
Egg on bag. Bagel. Egg on bag. It's a fried egg on a bag.
New favorite thing to cook. Oh. Last I mean, I'm always cooking
I know,
something
I
new.
I haven't even.
But I would say my new favorite thing. You know what? Is zinguini noodles.
Yeah.
That's I got a thing for my KitchenAid
that makes
the zinguinis. That's and good. So I just do them all the time and I have them and I blanch them and then I make pesto and I make all my sauces.
I like zinguinis.
And then that way I'm eating healthy.
I like zinguinis.
My other new thing, favorite thing to cook is multiple things for dinner because the kids love it. So like I'll do a lot of things that like have stuff that they can
like a smorgasbord.
Right, so right. Like taco type stuff and I'll do different mm-hmm, meats, right? Mm-hmm. Or I'll do beans. Mm-hmm. I'll do three different kinds of beans. You know, I don't like overdo it, but I do a bunch of different things.
Yeah. Lots of different flavors and tastes.
And then the kids and like have so much fun doing
it. Yeah, that's a good idea.
A lot of like, for instance, there's ways to do a lot of good Asian inspired dishes where you do like you, and then you can do some more store bought stuff. So you've got seaweed things they can put on it and sesame seeds and
fun.
Pickled stuff.
I like it.
Smorgasbord. Right, that's good. We should do a cookbook called Smorgasbord.
Yeah, it's good.
I like a smorgasbord.
Smorgs are good.
A word you keep using lately.
There was one and I
was saying interesting too much. I don't know if I'm still saying that.
No, I was saying something.
Interesting.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I can't remember. But it was this thing. I kept saying it.
So annoying.
I know you get caught on these words. But I don't know what it is now. Probably like,
interesting was the word. Isn't it interesting that?
Or right.
It's interesting when you know or... I find it so interesting. And then I heard someone say, think about how many times you say this word and if that's what you're doing, like it basically means you're unintelligent or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, I guess I'm not very smart. I keep going back to that word.
Yeah. I don't know. I forget. I don't know. I can't answer. All right.
This was fun.
Fun.
All
send
right,
more
Ollie.
Of your emails. Push the like button and follow us. Leave a comment in the comment section.
And don't forget to always send in your emails at
siblingsubmissions@gmail.com. Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson and Oliver Hudson.
Producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.
If you want to show us some love, rate the show and leave us a review. This show is powered by Simplecast.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.